today.
We enjoyed all the singing from the kids to the congregationals to the special there at the end as well. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to the book of Jude this morning. The book of Jude towards the end of your Bible, right before Revelation. And we're going to look at a few verses here in Jude. We'll look at the idea today and the thought behind how can we continue for another 10 years. 10 years is great, and it's a phenomenal spot to hit to, but what now, right? We don't just cut it off. All right, we made it to 10. Thanks, everybody, for coming. See ya. No, we want to go on. We want to continue forward. We want to keep marching in the right direction, and we'd like to be able to be celebrating 20 years here in 10 years' time as well. Camden, would you mind going and grab me a water, please? I forgot to grab one this morning. Thank you. And so we're going to be looking in Jude at how we can do that. The book of Jude talks a lot about apostasy in the church, warning of what is to come, how to guard and protect and to teach so that you can understand what is truth and what is not. And this epistle closes, though, with the instruction on what we as believers need to do in the days of apostasy. Well, I would argue that we might be in those days. What are we supposed to do as a church to stay true to what God desires for us to do, but also to move forward and grow and be continuously what God desires for us to be? And so the book here really closes out with this explanation or this instruction for us. So look with me in Jude. Look down, and we're going to start in verse number 20 this morning. Thank you. Verse number 20. The Bible says, "But ye beloved," that's us, by the way, "ye beloved," that's the church. And so, "but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." We're going to look at these verses today and hopefully be reminded or challenged or learn how we can continue for another 10 years. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here today. So much has happened to get us to this point, but Lord, we're grateful. And today we have an opportunity to open your word and to learn from it. Lord, I pray that that's exactly what would happen. I pray that you'd clear our minds and our hearts of anything that would distract us from your word. And Lord, that you'd allow us to focus in and receive exactly what you'd have for us today. Help me to present these verses today clearly and correctly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may have recognized some of these verses. The last two we sing on Wednesday nights with Brother John. And so they might be familiar to you. Some of these, one of these verses was one of our themes throughout the year. Actually, it was our very first theme that we did here at the church as well. And so there might be a familiar passage to you, maybe things that you've heard before. And honestly, none of the points that I have today are going to be earth-shattering, mind-blowing, I cannot believe, I've never thought of that before kind of points. But they're important points, and they're points that the Bible teaches us of how we as Christians, and even we specifically as a church, can do what God desires for us to do in a time where there is a lot of sin and wickedness around the world and around us and the culture and society in which we live. So let's look at these this morning. I've got, as a horrible Baptist does, 7 points today. Can you believe it? I got to make sure we got enough time for the burgers to grill. So point number one this morning is we need to study our Bible. Now, I know you say, "Pastor, okay, that's great. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's good stuff. All right, let's move on." No, let's look at what the Bible says. Verse number 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." What that means is studying your Bible. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith is how you study your Bible. It's what studying your Bible does for you, maybe be the better way to put it. We all know parts of the Bible, right? If I were to ask you, what book of the Bible do you think that you know the best? My guess is, with the 25, 30 people that are here today, the same book would come up multiple times for different people. For the most part, everyone who goes to church knows at least some of the Bible. We know some things like Psalms. A lot of people know a lot of the Psalms, especially some of the Psalms. Maybe the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're fairly familiar with those things. Acts, the early church, Romans, something that we learn about a lot as well. In the Old Testament, books like Judges or maybe Genesis, things like that where, man, we know these things, but do you know all the Scriptures? Well, the answer is no, you don't. That's not to say that you haven't read them, but I'm sure there are passages that we could bring up where you would say, man, I don't remember ever hearing that before. The Bible's a pretty big book. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but it's a pretty big book. There's a lot of stuff in it. And sometimes as Christians, we can kind of fly through life with this mindset of, I know enough of the Bible. Well, the reality is we don't know enough of the Bible. We need to know God's Word. If we are Christians, children of God, part of His church, we need to know our Bibles. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all, it's an important word, Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now think about that for a minute. If all Scripture is profitable, meaning it gives profit to our lives, it helps us, it gives us growth in some way or another, well, I don't know, have you ever read your Bible all the way through before? A lot of people try to do this in a year, read your Bible through in a year, and you come to certain spots where you go, how is this useful? Right? There are certain books or certain chapters where you're reading and you're going, I don't get how this helps me. Genealogies, Chronicles. You go through a lot of things in Chronicles where you're just like, There's some Old Testament books and even in the Pentateuch that you go, I'm not sure how this is useful to me. But the Bible says all Scripture is not only given by inspiration of God, but it is profitable. All of it is. So what does that mean? That means that we need to read and study all of our Bible. What are we going to find in our Bible? We're going to find conviction. We're going to find something that convicts our heart that says, man, what I'm doing is not right and I need to change. We're going to find challenge, the challenge us to do better. We're going to find, you're not going to hear this in a lot of churches, boring things. You're going to find things as you're reading that you're going to go, snooze. This is not grasping my attention. There's some of that in the Scriptures. You're going to find lists of genealogies. You're going to find war. You're going to find pain. You're going to find joy. You're going to find comfort. You're going to find encouragement. You're going to find understanding. You're going to find guidance. It's all in there. And that's why it's important that we study all of the Bible. If you're building a house and all you build is a foundation, do you have a house? No. Is the foundation important? Yes. But do you need more than that? You sure do. You need the frame of the walls. You need the drywall. You need insulation. You need a roof. It'd be nice to have electricity and plumbing. Although I guess you don't need it, but it would be good. These are things that you have in building a house. Yet with the Bible, sometimes we treat the Bible like all we need is the foundation. No. We need the roof. And we need the walls. We need the windows. We need the stove. We need it all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable. And so for us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith means that we need to study our Bible. By the way, that phrase there, most holy faith, it's not talking about your personal faith. It's talking about what you have faith in. That's what's holy, God. And so building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, study the Bible. Do we want to move forward for 10 more years? Do we want to be a church that's still alive in 10 more years? I do. I hope that you do too. We need to study our Bibles. Secondly, we need to pray. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that. Yes, we need to pray. It says here in verse number 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. It actually tells us specifically not just to pray, but to pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in dependence of the Holy Spirit. This is not a petition prayer. This does not mean that we cannot pray petition prayers, where we're asking for things from God. But specifically here, especially in the time of apostasy, the church needs to be praying in the Holy Ghost. If you go through an old house, for example, when my grandfather passed away, they were going to sell his house. And so then you got to go through things. And as you're going through things, if you're there, sometimes you're like, oh, can I have that? And you grab some things, take some things. They're not things that you need. You're just sitting there. Have you ever been to a yard sale? Maybe that's a better one. Go to a yard sale with a kid, and he's got $5. He's going to spend that $5. Does he need to? No. Is the thing at the yard sale better than anything that he has at home? No. But he's got $5, and that item's $5, and he wants to buy something. So he buys it, right? So a lot of times our prayer life is kind of like that. We're asking God for things that we don't need. They're not better than the things that we already have. They're not going to improve our life in any way. They're just things that we kind of want. Now again, is it wrong to ask for that? No, it's not. But when we're talking about surviving in the times of apostasy, surviving when society and culture is wicked and trying to tear God out of everything, we need to be praying, but not just praying, we need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. The disciples sat there and watched Christ pray, and what did they say? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Because the way that Christ was praying was different than how they were praying. It was different than the religious leaders that they had watched pray. There was something different about Jesus' prayers because he was praying in the Holy Ghost. There was power in that prayer. There was movement in that prayer. And God says for the church to survive in times of apostasy, it must pray in the Holy Ghost, dependent on God and on His Spirit. In Ephesians, when we look at the armor of God, it tells us to pray in the Spirit. This is what we're supposed to be doing. It's an offensive weapon to help us win the spiritual warfare that we're in. It's letting the Holy Spirit make intercession for us instead of us intercessing on ourselves. I don't even think that's a word, but nonetheless. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit knows so much more about what you need than you know about what you need. And when we pray in our own selves, we miss out on receiving all that we can receive. You know, as a pastor who started the church, there are times where you're sitting there and I'm just praying, Lord, give us, you know, there was time we prayed for a while, Lord, give us a pianist. We were playing music off the iPad, and it worked, but I didn't like it. And so we said, Lord, give us a pianist. And then we said, Lord, give us another one. No, I'm just kidding. God answered our prayers. We've prayed for a lot of things over the years. And God has given us what we need. And what we found is we know what we want, but God knows what we need. And so we'll pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray through the Holy Spirit instead of through ourselves, there's so much more power in that. And there's so much more knowledge and wisdom in that. Where we're asking the Holy Spirit to go on our behalf to God. And to tell Him what we need. Not us telling Him what we need, but for Him to tell Him what we need. And for Him to reward that prayer as well. And so, in order for us to survive in this time and for us to continue, we have to study our Bibles, building up ourselves and our holy faith. And we have to pray, but not only pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, what we need to do, here's a good modern term for you, we've got to feel the love. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Look in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You cannot stop God from loving you. But you can go through times where you don't allow God's love to cover you. You have this God that loves. Loves so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Loves so much that he gave himself for us. Yet there are times we go through life not allowing God's love to cover us. It says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep, that means stay, be there. Maybe the best example I can give you is an umbrella. When it's raining and you have an umbrella, I haven't used an umbrella in a really long time, but when it's raining and you have an umbrella, the rain does not get onto you. So picture God's love as rain. And the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. Take the umbrella away. Have you ever had more fun in your life than you've had running through the rain? I'm curious. You think through, maybe not anymore at my current age, but at a younger age, when it was raining, there was just something about running in the rain. Maybe dancing in the rain, if that's what you like to do, but running in the rain. And you run out there, you just get all wet. We had this place where I grew up, there was a field, a grass yard, and it kind of ditched somewhere near the middle of it. And so when it rained really hard, the rain would fill up there in the front of this yard. And I remember as a teenager with a couple other guys running and sliding in the mud into the big puddle of water, which was basically like a pond at the time. And even swimming in this yard, it was a heavy rain, swimming in this yard a little bit as well. And it was the most fun. Now, I was filthy, right? And my mom wasn't around, so she couldn't tell me not to do it. And it was fun. Okay, well, think through the blessings of rain that God pours down on us. But how oftentimes do we say, I don't want to experience God's love. Now, you wouldn't say that, right? No one says that out loud. I don't want to experience God's love. Yet, the things that we do in our lives, the way that we live, disobedient to God, we put the umbrella up and we do not get wet with the love of God. We don't allow it to get on us. And God says, keep yourself in the love of God. Remove the umbrella. Run, dance, spin, jump, slide, whatever you want to do. Soak it in, the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Yet so many times we don't do that. And God says, you want to move forward in a time of apostasy? You need the love of God pouring down on you. Fourthly, we see that we need to live with expectation. It says here in verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to live with expectation. Looking, that word looking literally means expecting. Listen, the mercy of God one day is going to remove us from this world. There's coming a day, we've been talking about in Revelation, there's coming a day where the Lord is going to return and He's going to call all of His children home. And we're going to be gone. And at that moment, we know people who have already gone before. And that moment that we think about, of man, now they're not sick anymore, now they're not hurting anymore, now they don't go through emotional pain anymore. It's all coming for the Christian. The mercy of God. And we're supposed to live with the expectation that God is going to come and take us home. This world is ugly, this world is wicked, this world has so much pain in it. But we live knowing that no matter what this world throws at us, I am receiving the mercy of God. The Bible says it's new mercy every single day for us, and one day it's eternal mercy. While I live on this earth, it's new mercy every single day. As soon as God calls me home, whether it be through the rapture or whether it be through my life ending on this earth, I experience the eternal mercy that I've been promised. And I'm supposed to live not defeated and not beat down and not stressed out, but living expecting God's mercy. Not just new mercy tomorrow, but eternal mercy that God's going to give one day. For the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what's coming. So I'm supposed to live in light of that mercy that God has. Live with expectation. Number five. This is a fun one. Be patient with people. Why? Because the Bible says so. Verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. The word compassion here is talking about patience. Patiently loving. There's a lot of confusion about God in this world. There's a lot of material out there people can read, listen to, watch, that can confuse them about God. So when you're sharing the gospel with someone, or you're having a conversation about God with someone, it can be frustrating when they don't believe you right away. It can be frustrating when they question you, doubt you, challenge you. And the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. The apostate churches have large influences. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. There are cults that influence people. And again, today it's so easy to access videos and podcasts and books about religion that are wrong. Not all of them, of course, but there are many of them. And so these people are walking around, they're confused, and so God says, be patient with your neighbors. Have compassion. When I look through Scripture and I see the passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where it says that Christ, looking out at the multitude, had compassion. Christ, seeing the children, had compassion. When you see Christ having compassion on people, what do you see Him do? You see Him say, or hear Him say, have them sit. They're hungry. Feed them. Let them come. He's illustrating patience. There's times where the disciples are saying, God, we got this big crowd of people, and the day is ending. It's time for everybody to go home, go out to eat, whatever. It's time for us to kind of wrap things up. And it says that Christ looked out on the multitude having compassion. And He says, make them sit down. He says, what's the situation with the finances for food? What's our budget? He knows he's asking this knowing the answer. And he's told, oh, we just don't have enough. We don't have enough for us, let alone for all these people. And all of a sudden, what a coincidence. Hey, Christ, there's a boy here. And he's got his lunch. He's offered it to you. Christ says, great. Next thing you know, 5,000 men, plus their wives and children, plus the disciples and all the people that were working with Christ, had something to eat. Because God said, let's just slow down a little bit. When the children were coming to see Jesus and the disciples are saying, hey, you stinky, snotty-nosed kids, get out of here. Christ looked and had compassion. He said, let them come. He sat with them and He talked with them and He taught them. He taught His disciples as well. So often we get in this rush where if someone doesn't do exactly what we wanted them to do, then we lose patience with them. Have you ever worked with somebody and you're sharing the gospel with them and maybe they're even saved and you're just trying to disciple them and they just keep doing things that you're like, that's not right. I told you, you're not supposed to do that. Why are you doing that? Well, and some have compassion. Making a difference. Be patient with people. You're going to make a difference in the lives of those around you when you're patient. It's not a, very rarely at least, is it a snap of the moment, everything's different. You got to be patient. Have compassion. But not only that, should we be patient with people, but number six, don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. The Bible says in verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. But in verse 23, it says, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by this flesh. There are those that we'll look at and we'll say, those people are a lost cause. They've already got one foot into hell. And the Bible says you do everything you can to pull them out of the fire. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. When is it too late to be saved? When the heart stops beating. If the heart's still beating, we should still be trying. Now, I can't save anybody, but I'm told to go and share the gospel with everybody. And the Bible teaches us here that in an apostate world, there are some that you can be patient with. There are some that you can be slow with, but there are some that are almost gone. And you do everything you can to pull them out of a fire. A lot of the illustration gives the illustration that people that illustrate this verse talk about like a brand sitting in the fire. I don't know if you know that picture. It's kind of an old one now, but back when they would brand cattle with fire with the iron brands, you would take this pole, and on the end it would have a logo or something on it that was recognizable, and you'd set it into the fire till it got red hot. And then you'd take it out and you'd press it on the hide of a cow or a horse, and that mark then would be on there. And you got to pull it out of the fire in order to do that. And that's the picture that's given to us, taking something that's in the fire and pulling it out. Something that appears to be a lost cause. Well, you can't be patient with that. So it's a save with fear. Go out. Understand the time is of the essence. Don't give them up. Now, you cannot appease them. That doesn't work. You cannot excuse the sin that they're living in. That doesn't work. The Bible says here in verse 23, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You got to hate everything about the sin. But when you see that they're on the edge of eternal damnation, you do everything you can to pull them back. Don't give up on them. For me, that's the point today there are times where I just look at people and I say, what's the point? I mean, what's the point? Look at their life. Look at their attitude. Look at their actions. They're a lost cause. And God says that there's some that you can be patient with, have compassion. And there are others that you need to be understanding that eternal hell is near. Pull them out. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. Just as God does. Don't give up on them. And the last thing, and what we'll end our time with today, we see these things that we're told to do. Study your Bible. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Let the love of God pour down on you. Live with expectation of God's mercy. Be patient with people. Don't give up on people. And the last one is an obvious point, but it's keep your attention on God. Verse 24 and 25 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Keep your attention on God. Why? Well, because he is able. He's able to keep you from falling, from stumbling. In my life, I've known a lot of pastors and seen a lot of churches. I've seen people who have appeared to have stumbled, fallen. And that always happens when we don't keep our eyes on God. When our focus and our attention is not on God, we're going to fall. So keep your eyes on God, who is able to keep you from falling. Falling into apostasy, falling into the things of this world and the luster of this world, he's able to keep you. And then it says that he'll present you faultless. Blameless. When you stand before God, you'll stand before God rejoicing and not in shame because of who God is. Keep your eyes and your attention on God. And the Bible tells us who he is. Verse 25, he's wise. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's worthy of glory and majesty. He's mighty and the authority of all. Keep your eyes on him. It's easy to wander. It's easy to stray off the path. It's easy to allow the world to and Satan to tempt and pull, because they are. It's pulling, it's pulling, it's pulling. Well, we're told, keep your eyes on God, because He's able to keep you. And He's going to present you faultless. And He's so wise. He saved us. He's deserving of that glory and the majesty. He has dominion and He has power. Not only today. Not only in 2014 when we started. But now and forever. How do we continue? How do we survive another 10 years? How do we do better in the next 10 years? Well, we need to study the Bible. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to soak in the love of God. We need to live with expectation of mercy. We need to be patient. We need to make sure we don't give up on people. And ultimately, we got to keep our eyes on Christ. And that's how we can be sitting here 10 years down the road celebrating 20 years. 20 years of God's faithfulness. 20 years of God using His people to take care of His church. 20 years of miracles. 20 years of answered prayers. We can do it. But we can only do it with God's help. We can only do it by doing it God's way. And so I encourage you this morning, as a church, let's do it together. Our theme this year is praying it forward. Let's do it together. Let's seek God. Let's beg God. Let's use His Spirit to guide us and direct us and bless us along the way. I'm so thankful for this church. We've seen people come and go. We've seen the church grow and shrink. We've seen the church plateau and stay the same. We've seen a lot of different aspects of church. But one thing that has not changed has been God. He's been faithful every step of the way. So why would we put our eyes on anything else? Do we want people who have abilities to help in different ways? Do we like having a pianist? Yes, believe it or not, we do. Do we like having people who can sing and sing pretty? Yes, of course we do. But what we need is God. So we might as well keep our eyes on the one who's been faithful, the one who's never failed, and the one who's always been good. And if we do that, we'll be back here next year celebrating year 11, and the year after that, 12, and so on and so forth until the Lord calls us home. Lord, we pray for your help this morning. We have seen your faithfulness and we've seen your goodness to this church. God, we cannot doubt that you are the reason for everything good that we have. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a committed church. Lord, that we'd be committed to do what you desire for us to do, to be what you desire for us to be, so that we can see the full potential of what you desire for this church. So, Lord, today I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to your word. And God, that you'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. For you have been faithful. For you have been good. Lord, you're the only one who has been that consistently for 10 years. So, Lord, we seek your help in the days ahead. We pray all this in Jesus' name with our heads bowed.